Here's my subject today. What Isaiah saw. What Isaiah saw. And here's my text, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and His glory filled the temple. The whole earth is full of His glory. Now, we don't know a great deal about this man, Isaiah, except to say, first of all, he was a prophet of God. We do know that. He was a prophet of God who prophesied in the days of Uzziah and Jotham and Ahaz and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. He lived almost 120 years, and he prophesied for 85 of those 120 years. He lived approximately 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ visited our earth, came in the flesh. And his writings, did you know this? The writings of the prophet Isaiah are quoted in the New Testament more than all 39 of the Old Testament books, except the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is quoted more in the New Testament than any other book in the Bible, but Isaiah is quoted more than any book except the Psalms. Now, John, the forerunner of Christ, began his ministry quoting Isaiah. He said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord." Our Lord Jesus Christ went down to Nazareth, where he was brought up, and as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And our Master, the Lord Himself, selected a passage of Scripture from Isaiah chapter 61 and read it and preached from it. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to give sight to the blind, and to heal the sick, and to recover the captive." Our Lord quoted that passage from Isaiah 61. And then it was Isaiah that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading when he was journeying from Jerusalem to Ethiopia in the chariot, was sitting there reading the Scriptures, and God sent Philip, the preacher, down to preach to him. He was reading Isaiah chapter 50-53. Isaiah is fitly called the gospel of the Old Testament. But enough of that. What I want you to look at this morning is this. Isaiah had a revelation of the Lord. God revealed Himself to Isaiah, as He's pleased to reveal Himself to all whom He saves. Paul said, "God separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, and He was pleased to reveal Himself to me." And God was pleased to reveal Himself to this man Isaiah. Over in the New Testament, our Lord said to the Apostle Peter one day, said, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And our Master said, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father revealed it to you. My Father which is in heaven." In Matthew 11:25, our Lord said, "I thank Thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, Thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and Thou hast revealed them unto babes." And then in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 8 and 9 and 10, the Scripture says, "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of men, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him, but He has revealed them unto us by His Spirit." And the thing I want to talk about today is not just the fact that Isaiah was a great writer and a great prophet, and a prophet who prophesied for a number of years, and a prophet who was often quoted, but he was a prophet who saw the Lord. God revealed Himself to Isaiah. That's what it says here in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah saw the Lord. He said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. Now, what did that mean? What did Isaiah mean? Well, he did not see God essentially considered. Now, you've got to learn that first. No man hath seen God at any time. Isn't that what the Bible says? No man hath seen God at any time. God is a spirit. The Bible talks about our God being invisible. No man, God said to Moses, can look on me and live. Even Moses was not permitted, essentially considered, to look on God. No man can look on God and live. God is a spirit. His essence is not to be seen. Well, you say, preacher, what did Isaiah see? Whom did Isaiah see? He said, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. Isn't that what he said? Isaiah saw the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly who he saw. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah, 700 years before Christ came into this world, was manifested in human flesh, walked on this earth, lived in the flesh, and died on the cross, was buried and rose again. 700 years before Christ came to this earth, Isaiah, the prophet, had a pre-incarnation view of the Son of God. He said, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. That has to be the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ said, no man hath seen the Father. No man. Christ said this 700 years later. He said, no man hath seen the Father. The only begotten hath declared him, manifested him, revealed him. So when Isaiah said, I saw the Lord, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he saw. And he saw Christ on a throne. Now, will you see this? He saw Christ on a throne. The Scripture says in Hebrews 1:8, the Father declared to the Son, Thy throne, O God, is forever. Thy throne. Thy throne, O God, is forever. And Christ is called our merciful high priest. And we're invited to come to His throne of grace. Our merciful high priest is on a throne, which is called a throne of grace, that we may find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And it says in Hebrews 10:12, Christ, having offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on a throne on the right hand of God. He is Lord, sovereign, omnipotent Lord by decree. God hath made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, Lord and Christ. And he's not only Lord by decree, he's Lord by death. He died that he might be Lord of the dead and the living. So Jesus Christ, don't get the wrong conception of Christ. He came as the Lamb. He came as the sinner's friend. He came as the Redeemer. He came in the flesh and died. But our Lord Jesus Christ is seated on a throne, high and lifted up. That's what Isaiah said. He said, I saw him on a throne, and I saw him high and lifted up. Now, the throne wasn't necessarily high and lifted up. Christ was high and lifted up. He became the Son of Man, and the Son of Man was lifted up to save. Now the Son of Man is lifted up to reign. He's no longer on a cross. He's not in a tomb in Jerusalem. He's on a throne. And he reigns. He said to his disciples, I have all authority in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel. Philippians 2 said that God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, above the name of Abraham, above the name of Moses, above the name of David, above the name of angels, greater than the angels. And God has given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow in heaven, earth, and under the earth, and every tongue shall proclaim that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. I saw the Lord, he said. I saw him on a throne. I saw him high and lifted up. That's a little different view from what I hear people talk about seeing Jesus now at the foot of the bed and seeing him out there wandering around in a field and seeing him with visions. Isaiah saw him on a throne, high and lifted up. And it said his glory literally filled the temple. The whole earth was full of His glory. And Isaiah saw His holiness and righteousness. It said the seraphims around the throne. Many people think those represent His prophets, His preachers, His evangelists. But these seraphims around the throne had six wings. And with two of them, they covered their faces, ashamed of themselves in His presence. Even the seraphims cover their faces in the presence of His immaculate holiness. His awesome holiness. They covered their faces. And with two wings, they covered their feet. Ashamed of their walk, ashamed of their conduct, ashamed of their conversation, covered their feet in humility. And with two they did fly about the throne of our Lord. They flew, someone said, in haste to proclaim the good news that Christ is enthroned. But chiefly, Isaiah saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and he saw Him on a throne. That's not sweet little Jesus, boy. This is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They saw Him lifted up. And they saw His glory fill the temple. And they saw even the seraphims cover their faces in His awesome, holy, and righteous presence. And they saw the whole earth full of His glory. Now the heavens declare His glory. All things that were made by Him. Now every believer has seen His glory and is filled with His glory. And the church, His body, knows something about His glory. But someday, the whole earth shall be full of His glory as the waters that cover the sea. There won't be a place He doesn't reign. There won't be a heart over which He doesn't reign. There won't be a bird in the skies or an animal on the shore or a man walking on legs that will not love Him with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. The glory of God is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. I saw the Lord. I don't know. I listen to the religionists of this day. I listen with a broken heart. I listen with a tear in my eye. I listen with a sob in my throat. And the Jesus they're talking about is not the one Isaiah saw. Paul said, it's another Jesus. It's another gospel. It's another spirit. It's the spirit of Antichrist. It's the imposter. It's the counterfeit. Isaiah saw the Lord. I know he saw the Lord. I don't know that you've seen Him, but I know Isaiah saw Him. God said he saw Him. God said he revealed himself to Him. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, and I saw Him on a throne. I didn't see Him begging anybody for anything. God said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. The cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. If I needed anything, I wouldn't call on you. I hear people say, God needs you. He needs your tithe. He needs your money. He needs your support. He needs your this, that, and the other. God doesn't need anything you have or anybody out there. Not the God of the Bible. He's on a throne. And His throne's lifted up above all the earth. And His glory fills the temple. And His glory fills the earth as the waters that cover the sea. And He's holy. He's holy. What did Isaiah see? He saw the Lord. And then what did he see? He saw himself. When he saw the glory and the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, he saw himself. He said, I saw the Lord. High and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And the seraphims cried, Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts. And I cried, Woe is me. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm undone. I'm cut off. Woe is me. Let me tell you something. This is another reason that I doubt that this generation seen the Lord. It's their attitude toward themselves and toward sin. A sinner is hard to find. Did you know that? If a man's seen the Lord, he knows his sin. He can see his sin. I tell you, if we look at the worst of men, we are prone to say, I thank you, God, I'm not like other men. If we look at the law, we are prone to say with Saul of Tarsus, I'm blameless. If we look at the Ten Commandments, we're prone to say with the rich young ruler, all these have I kept from my youth up. But when a man gets a look at the Lord, if he ever sees the Lord in His holiness, in His majesty, in His awesome greatness, in His glory, he can only say with Isaiah, "I'm undone. Woe is me. God be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips." Isaiah said, "I'm undone. I'm cut off. I'm reduced to silence. I'm a man of unclean lips." He's talking about his heart too, because the lips are the outlet of the heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, that's the way the abundance of the mouth speaketh. What's wrong with this man, Isaiah? What makes him so low in the dust? What causes his tears and his grief and his mourning and his great exclamation over sin? He's seen the Lord. He's seen the Lord. And God's perfect love reveals our hate. And God's perfect obedience in Christ reveals our rebellion. And His perfect faith reveals our unbelief. And His perfect wisdom reveals our foolishness. What caused His feelings of sin and guilt? Well, He said, "Mine eyes have seen the King. I'll never be the same. I've seen the King." Not some imposter going by the name of Jesus or Jesus or whatever. Not some imposter presented by a covetous, greedy pulpit. "I've seen the Lord. The Holy Ghost hath opened my eyes and removed the scales, and I've seen the Lord. I've seen Him high and lifted up on a throne in His awesome majesty and glory and holiness. And all I can say is this, woe is me. Woe is me." I question, yes I do, and I sincerely question. It's too much flippancy, too much carnality, too much flesh, too much familiarity with the man called Jesus. There's no familiarity here. "I put my hand on my mouth." Job saw the Lord and he said, "I put my hand on my mouth. I've spoken once, yea twice, I'll never speak again. I've been talking about things too wonderful for me." Daniel saw the Lord and he said, "My comeliness melted into corruption." Isaiah saw the Lord. And the only way a man can get a glimpse of God in the person of Christ, in His true character, is a revelation of Christ through His Word by the Spirit of God. Not by another Spirit, by the true Spirit of God. The true Spirit of God gives a man a true revelation of Christ. And that man is awestruck with two unchangeable truths: the greatness of God and the emptiness of Himself. The holiness of God and the sinfulness of Himself. The great power of God and the weakness of Himself. The righteousness of God's justice and holiness. And the fact He deserves God's wrath and condemnation. Thank God Isaiah didn't stop there. The vision didn't stop there. Isaiah saw the Lord. And when he did, he saw himself. And he just said, "I'm cut off. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. There's no communion between me and that God." But next in verse 6 and 7, he saw pardon and mercy. "Then flew one of those seraphims unto me." He flew to me. I didn't fly to him. I didn't go to him. I didn't rush into his presence. I backed off. I held my hands up before that awesome light. And I cried, "Woe is me, I'm cut off." But that seraphim, on orders from the throne, sent by God, flew to me. He came to me. I'm telling you this. When God saves a man, God comes to the man. God seeks him and God calls him and God finds him. And God regenerates him and God quickens him and God makes him a new creature. Salvation's of the Lord. He flew to me, having a live coal, a burning live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar. And he laid it on my mouth. And he said to me, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away. Thy uncleanness is taken away and your sin is purged. Now then, if the seraphim represents those who take the gospel, those who preach the gospel, those who fly in haste, conscious of their own sinfulness, conscious of their own guilt, they fly in haste to bring the good news. If the seraphims represent those messengers of God who bring that gospel, that good news, then what's the live coal? It's none other than the gospel which they bring. It's the gospel of Christ. That's that burning coal. That's that live coal. It's the gospel of God's grace, which is the power of God unto salvation. The cleansing, quickening, regenerating, saving power of God that enables God to be a holy God and a just God and a merciful God and a forgiving God. And that gospel is taken from where? From the altar. Where's that altar? It's a live coal taken from Golgotha's hill, from Calvary's mountain where our Lamb was slain. It's a live coal taken from the very altar of Calvary, and God Almighty sends it in haste to be laid on the sin that I confess. And it's laid on that sin, and that sin is purged and forgiven. Oh, Isaiah saw pardon. And when that seraphim came with the live coal in his hand, taken from off the altar, he laid it on my mouth. And he says, by the grace of God, through the obedience of Christ, and through the blood of the Son of God, your iniquity is put away. Your iniquity is taken away. And your sin is purged. And you're forgiven. Isaiah, he saw something, didn't he? That beast walking down an aisle and shaking a preacher's hand and acting silly. That beast joining somebody's religious movement or somebody's church and swearing on a stack of Bibles you're saved when you know you're not. When a man by divine revelation sees the Lord Jesus Christ as He's revealed in His Word, he sees Him in His glory, in His holiness, in His position to which the Father hath placed Him, in which the Father hath placed Him, to which the Father hath exalted Him, high and lifted up. And he sees himself in his sin, he's broken at the feet of God. And he cries like the publican, God be merciful to me. He cries like the Canaanite woman, God be merciful to me. He cries like Bartimaeus of old, Lord, have mercy upon me. He cries with the thief of old, Lord, remember me. And God sends a messenger with good news, with a live coal right off the altar, and touches his mouth, and he's made whole. But Isaiah saw something else. He saw something else. He saw human nature in its blindness, in its darkness. Yes, he did. God said, whom shall I send? Whom shall I send? Isaiah had something to say. He had something to say. He'd seen something. Whom shall I send? God said. Who'll go for me? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. God said, all right, you go to the people now. You go to the people. Go tell the people. What shall I tell them? Tell them all flesh is grass, and behold your God. Behold your God. What shall I tell them? Well, when Isaiah saw his glory, he spake of him. That's what John said. When he saw his glory, he spake of Christ. Tell them about Christ. Tell them about the glory of God. Tell them about the sinfulness of human nature. Tell them about the only mediator, Jesus Christ. Tell them about the reigning high priest. Tell them about the perfect sacrifice. Well, Lord, how will they respond? That's a good question, isn't it? How will they respond? Well, God tells him. He said, they'll hear you, but they won't understand. He said, they'll see, but they'll not comprehend. Having eyes, they see not, and ears, they hear not, and having hearts, they don't understand. Master, why do you speak to the people in parables? I speak to them in parables because they have eyes, and they do not see. They don't want to see. They will not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. They stop up their ears, and they will not listen. They said, we have our tradition. We have our custom. We will not be changed. They have hearts, but they do not understand. But blessed are your eyes, they see, and your ears, they hear. The Lord can enable a man to both see and hear. Did you know that? To both see and hear. But only God can do it. I pray He'll give you a vision of His glory. Don't settle for anything less. It's not a mechanical. This thing of salvation is not a mechanical religion. It's a revelation of Christ and the glory of God in Christ. Now, I have two messages on this tape. The one I preached last week on Will You Die Tonight? And the one I just preached on what Isaiah saw. But I want to tell you about some Bible class commentaries. Most of you have already heard about these books. But I've written some Bible class commentaries on all 21 epistles of the New Testament, verse by verse. And they're in simple, everyday, plain language. Not written for theologians or seminary students. They're written for you and for me. Plain, ordinary folks. And they're true to the Word, verse by verse, brief explanation or exposition of each verse. And they're printing all of them in England. They'll be out end of this year, but we have about 8 of the epistles in these 4 books. If you want them, you see them there on your screen. If you want these books, there's 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Romans in one book by itself, Galatians and Hebrews and James. These are all that I have right now. More will be in this year. But if you want these books, you write and I'll send them to you. They're $1.50 each. That's completely wholesale. That's what we pay for them. I'm not raising money. I want you to read these books and give them to your friends and share them with others. They're excellent for Bible classes and Sunday school classes and Bible studies in the homes. If you want them, you write this week and send $6. I'll send you all 4 of the books which contain 8 epistles. The tape costs $2. I hope you'll be with us next week and that you'll write and let us hear from you. Until then, I bid you a very pleasant good day.